You know, I'm a bit itinerant. I grew up in the military. My father was a doctor in the Army, and my mom was a professor of law. And we moved quite a bit through my childhood. After college, I spent 23 years in Los Angeles, California, which is where my horse racing book is set. And Los Angeles raised me as much as my parents did. About 4 years ago, I moved east very consciously to move toward my my extended family. And I've been living with older family members for the last 4 years. I moved onto my great uncle's farm and shared space with my cousins, older cousins, and then I moved to live with one of my aunts. So I don't own a home, and I don't have a lease on an apartment anywhere. I've been collecting stories in a new way by living with my extended family.
What about growing up like that informed what you do now?
People often ask what's it like to grow up in the Army, but they don't ask what does it mean to be a writer in the Army, but it very much informed why I'm writing this book I'm writing, because I think, you know, the workforce that I'm following is itinerant. I follow them through the racing circuit of California, and they were itinerant before there were borders between California and Mexico. The racing circuit used to include tracks in Tijuana. So my life was itinerant. I have that circadian rhythm. Also, the military put us into other people's worlds and cultures. And I grew up with parents who taught me that I was both a guest there, a respectful guest, but I was also to make a home. We were always students of the place that we lived, I would say. So I think that as a writer, I kept up that practice. I kept up the practice of exploring. I kept up the practice, well, the joy of the discovery process for me. That's what writing is about, but my material is the true world. My material is the relationships I build with people and the specificities of the places I live.
Have you ever felt settled anywhere? Do you ever feel of a place?
I'm 48, and I've learned as I've grown older to be, as the title of the book is, be at home in the going. I often now make this motion down my breastbone, which is to say I'm at home. Like I need to be at home in my body and on my feet. The trappings of home that cost a lot of money become less and less relevant. I don't take shelter for granted. I worked in the field of public health for the entire time I lived in California, and I still consider myself a public health worker as I work to help young people begin and practice the craft of creativity. But I always worked with homeless people, and I don't for 5 minutes take a home for granted.
Tell me about the title of your book, what it is and what it means.
At home in the going is an old phrase that was used to describe a horse when he or she is moving at optimum efficiency and comfort over the surface of a racetrack. So some horses are mutters and some horses are turf horses, meaning they run on grass, and some horses like a hard dirt track. And when a horse is at home in the going, the horse is comfortable as they move away, as they do what they were really built to do, which is to run.
How annoying is it when you tell people that you're writing a book about horse racing and they say, oh, I've read Seabiscuit, like I did when you walked into the station
today? I love when people have any conversation with me about a book or my writing or what they're reading or what they're writing. That's my favorite thing in the world. And it's one reason I found such joy in Sitka already, because I've met so many interesting writers in so many places. You know, when your cruise ship doesn't come in, there's not a lot of work for people who are making their living or making their pocket change or serving their intern hours by working in sales. And on the days when the cruise ships have been diverted for weather, I found a wonderful writer over in the aquarium. I found a writer at the gift shop at the Pioneer Home, a senior. This wonderful 88-year-old painter now is writing memoir, but she kept telling me she's not doing it right. She's not doing it right. So she's doing it incredibly right. She has a most beautiful style that's reminiscent of a DJ Waldy or Octavia Butler in the few times that she wrote nonfiction, which is to tell her story in very small, distinct moments, which is more true to how we remember our lives than to write an incredibly seamless narrative that goes from beginning to end. So we write together. We sit together and work together on Monday afternoons looking out at the beautiful, beautiful view of the Sitka Sound. And, give each other encouragement that we're already doing it right.
What about the students at Pacific High? When you are writing, there's a certain amount of dropping the pose and finding your true voice. And kids in high school, I mean, it's all about the pose. It's all about the facade.
Yeah, I guess I've had the opposite experience. And I say that having taught in a Los Angeles County jail with teenagers who had scored, literacy-wise, had scored below the fourth grade. I work with the most gifted young people in the United States. So I teach at a very competitive summer writing program at Sewanee University. And I've taught a whole lot of places in between. And my experience is this why I keep returning to work with teenagers, because they do have the courage to make change and they are willing to move ahead very quickly. They are, they're hungry. They're hungry. And as soon as they have permission often to write in the first person, which often doesn't happen in the classroom, or as soon as they start to see through the practice of writing and reading aloud and hearing their colleagues or fellow students' works, is they begin to see what it is that they're already doing that is unique to them, that only they can do. And that's a very powerful strength to have as a young person, to come to know in a greater way what it is you're good at, what it is that is unique about the way you see and experience the world, what it is you love, what it is that you long for, what it is that you most miss. These are things that I feel like if we can strengthen those pathways as writers, we have a faster go-to than perhaps a choice that's more destructive, more violent. It's another thing that I learned from the writer Twile, who's been here, and that is that the notebook can take everything you give it. For a teenager, that's a very powerful thing. To put it, to cut into the notebook, to love something intensely in the notebook is on some ways the most revelatory and the most harmless act.
We started to talk about your book but got sidetracked. I wondered if you'd read a little bit from it.
Thought about reading as you invited me here, and so I thought about reading something specifically for Sitka and Port Alexander, Yakutat, Angoon, Cake, Tinakee Springs, Pelican, and Elfin Cove, because I wanted to read something about rain at the racetrack. Post time is an hour away when the tote board flashes the announcement that the first race has been taken off the downhill turf. Santa Anita Racetrack in Southern California has had 17 inches of rain since opening day. Again, rainfall has made the grass too slick for the horses to get purchase. The race will move to the dirt track. Three horses scratch. That's a bad start to the day for the bettors, racing's customers. Thoroughbred horses are bred and trained to run on either dirt or grass. European racing is exclusively on grass, while the majority of U.S. is on dirt. Dirt equals speed. That's American racing. There were 8 horses listed in the program, but there are 5 turf horses running on a dirt track in the pouring rain. A smaller field, fewer horses to bet, shorter odds, lower payouts, and the forced recalculation of better studied choices for exotic wagers. The rain is a bad start for everyone. Only a skeleton staff gets work hours today. The janitors have put no-slip floor mats at the grandstand entrances, but there are a few fans. The outdoor concessions are shuttered, as is every bet window past the main line. In the jockey room, the valets have laid out black breeches for the riders because the white pants would never come clean of the mud. But black pants carry no paid advertising stitched down the leg or across the ass. Rain smears the ink in my notebook, erasing my work. No one's going to make a dime from the day.
Have you read this aloud to anybody before?
I'm working on this chapter since I got here, so no.
Do you talk about this book with your students? I mean, I've had many writers sit in the chair where you're sitting now, and I could draw a closer connection to their work, to Sitka, than I can with you. But the process you're talking about seems to be the valuable lesson for your students.
The process is to find a question that captivates you and to follow it and to follow where that leads. And we can do that as writers and we can do that as readers. You know, we move from book to book to book. But I do think this is related to Sitka because I think there's no segment of our workforce that where we're not struggling with craftspeople being replaced by more efficient moneymakers, where laborers aren't having to work in balance with weather and soil, or here it'd be like weather and water. I heard an incredible news story that you guys did this week about a fisherman not qualifying for health insurance, that his health insurance wasn't going to cover him, and he didn't understand, and how he was negotiating being a very small business. And, you know, that's something that's happening in this world as well. Racing is in a huge decline. This may not be a sport we have forever. We may realize that, you know, animals are not expendable in the way that they are in racing. The book is really, really specific, and I do try to teach the writers that I work with that the more specific we can be in our story, the more we tell the truth of what happened and are brave enough to do that, the more universal the story becomes. So in being very specific, I think this asks questions about how do we find or come upon or are born into or inherit our life's work? How do we accept limits around what the pace and the success of our work is? How do we fail? What's job security? How is our job distancing us or bringing us closer to a connection with the natural world? Certainly did that for me as a writer.